Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone. It's not a touchdown. Oh my heavens.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Welcome back to hour number two of Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz. Sean Angle producing our show, The Fantasy Prince, keeping us flying straight here on a Sunday with you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So what's going on, George?
What's going on indeed? Right now I'm actually watching a recording of the Yankee game from yesterday, which may tell you the sad existence of my life. It's on the back. I always have the MLB Network on in the background anyway because they show games pretty much. They'll show about 6-7 games a day. I understand spring training. Don't take them seriously. It's just on in the background. You know, it's a baseball game to watch here. And so I'm enjoying that right now. I got to tell you later on today, I'm doing the weekend fantasy update with Cam Stewart after the show.
Awesome.
And we'll do that from 11 to 2. And then I got to go help my neighbor's moving. My neighbor's moving, which is actually very disappointing because we actually like the neighbor very much. And I promised they're giving us some stuff because they're going to Vegas, so they can't take everything with them. And they give me a nice couch, not a great couch, but a nice leather couch that he can't take. So
for the man cave,
some other things. No, I have a nicer section.
Well, I get the fish.
He's my baby, man.
You got the tool to get the fish. How about the fish?
Sundays.
Not getting any fish today. I don't even like fish. That's the sad part. But we still make fun of you on the Weekend Fantasy Update with Joe's Fish Market, by the way.
That's good. That's good. I sent the text I sent to you and Cam because I was walking into that fish market this week.
Yes.
You got it, right? Yeah. Got some nice fresh shrimp there. Yeah. And so it's okay.
I don't really like anything that swims. It pretty much maybe crabs. I like crab and lobster. Some shrimp, but even shrimp. I only like cocktail shrimp. I don't like breaded shrimp or garlic shrimp or anything like that. Just pretty much cocktail. I drive my wife crazy, as anybody can see. Oh, you want to hear something sad for me?
All right,
you're sad for
don't
me.
Don't make
is,
me too sad.
Well, actually, a friend of mine passed away yesterday. That wasn't I was going with that, but I don't even know the full details there. That was shocking. But my wife, who's fine, by the way, but she has beautiful long hair. Beautiful long hair that was down past her waist. I mean, really long hair. And
nice.
But she doesn't have it anymore, though. She's got a cut.
You're kidding me.
And I mean cut.
Without telling
you? I mean cut. Oh, no. She was thrilled to tell me. I mean, tell me, tease me, taunt me. For weeks now, she was going to... She does this about every other year, I'd say she gets a cut. Mm-hmm. By the way, I mean cut. I mean, she lost 2 feet of hair. You know, she donates it to Cancer Society for...
That's nice. Okay.
She's always done that. So she works... she's a nurse. She works in the cancer unit, so she's always done that. But, my wife, I lost... I don't know if I lost 2 feet of hair, if she lost 2 feet of hair. She really didn't lose it because she did it voluntarily. I lost 2 feet of hair.
It'll grow back. It'll grow back. Don't worry about it. And it was for a good cause.
I'm a little sad about this. She looks good with the show. She can get away with it. I'll give her that. But, I mean, wow. It's funny because my oldest daughter, Her identity is her hair. My oldest daughter has big hair too. That's big, long, curly hair. She would have a heart attack if my wife made her cut her hair. I mean, really, she would flip out. So it runs in the family as far as the hair thing's concerned. But yeah, she lost 2 feet of hair. 2 feet of hair. Mm. This is hard, Joe. This is hard for me.
So that's what's been wrong. I knew that. I sensed that there was an underlying sadness to you this morning. Now I know why. But don't worry, it'll grow back, and it was for a good cause. And other sad news. What about Luke Perry from Beverly Hills fame passing away this week?
Yeah, I mean,
you weren't at Beverly Hills 90210.
We all were. Because anybody our age, even if you didn't want to like the show, you were dating someone who watched it, and you had to watch that. And what was the other one? Party of Five, which was on after it, I think. And Melrose Place.
Melrose Place.
You all had to get stuck watching that crap because the girl you were dating at the time wanted to watch that. Now, you know who else died? Someone who I actually liked much more, but wasn't very publicized at all. Actually died February 10th, but not announced until 2 days ago, was Jan Michael Vincent.
I saw that it was announced yesterday, but I didn't realize that he passed away in February. I thought
February 10th?
Passed away with Airwolf, right?
Airwolf, yeah. He was another like Luke Perry. He was a heartthrob in the 70s. With the stuff he did, that he was that teen heartthrob guy. And listen, he had major problems. Unlike Luke Perry, who seems to be just really,
52 years old,
Jim Luke Perry was 74, and he had drug problems. He was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. That's really what cost him his career. Because really, you said at Airwolf, have you heard from Jim Michael Vincent since Airwolf? No.
No.
He said he had major problems on that show as far as addiction was concerned. But yeah, it's been brutal. What a brutal month for celebrities.
Yeah,
With
Luke Perry, like guys our age in our genre, whatever. Maybe we don't want to admit it, but a lot of us kind of like looked up to Luke Perry in a way, because him and Jason Priestley, they brought back the long sideburns. They were cool back then. Let's face it. I mean, they were, and the ladies that we were attempting to date and dating, they liked them, so we tried to emulate them in certain ways, I guess, right? And
I'll be honest, I had forgotten about Luke Perry because other than that show, the 90s Beverly Hills, I don't think I've seen him in anything else. I think he was on something called Riverdale or something like that now, and I don't watch I don't watch it.
Yeah.
Jason Priestley, I haven't heard from since, once again, 902. I don't know if I've heard from any of them. Oh, I guess Shannon Doherty was a pain in the ass for a while, right? So you always heard about her in the news. But was it the other one? Spelling? Yeah, one of the producer's daughter, Tori. Mm-hmm. Never seen her. Oh, the one kid. Ended up being, I've seen him in a couple of shows, David, I think, who played a nerd on the show, but he ended up being a pretty, he actually filled out to a pretty big tough guy, and a funny guy. I think he was on, with Charlie Sheen, he was on a show, Anger Management.
Right.
He was on with Sheen, that was pretty good, and I liked him on that show. But other than that, I mean, all of them, I really haven't seen any of them. As far as hitting it big, it was that show a bust, I think. Didn't Priestley get into an accident, too, that screwed his face up?
Oh, I don't know. It's possible, but I didn't hear about it. But
I think he was big in the cars, car racing, and I think something happened there. Not that it didn't disfigure him, but I think it took a while for him to heal. I believe this is, once again, a long time ago, but I don't think I've heard from any of these guys as far as that is concerned. Visiting all these shows. But then again, hey, they made enough money with that show where they're not worried about it.
Yeah, and hopefully they sign good contracts to get residuals every time it's replayed. Like you mentioned, Perry's in the show Riverdale, which is, I wasn't a big Archie's Comics guy, but it's based on the Archie comics, and he plays somebody's dad, if it's not Jughead or maybe Archie himself's dad. So that's what he's been doing lately.
I had no idea that's based on the Archie comics.
Yeah,
no clue.
Yeah, so that's the story there, but. But, sad to hear about Luke Perry, and also sad to hear about Jan Michael Vincent. So,
it makes you wonder about your own mortality. I'll tell you that when you see guys you said Perry is 52, so he's older than us, and Jan Michael Vincent could have been my grandfather. But, I guess guys we grew up with. You see this. I was watching Cannonball Run. you know Cannonball Run, right?
Yeah.
Right, very Reynolds, funny movie. But you realize watching Cannonball, and there's a whole bunch of stars. That's the type of movie that'll never be made again because there's so many stars in that movie it would cause a small fortune.
Cameos,
but if you watch them, if you watch that movie, they're all dead.
Yeah.
All the stars, they're all, I mean, not all of them. Jackie Chan's still alive. He was in that movie, but most of them are gone. And you start like, oh my God. I mean, Roger Moore, Burt Reynolds. I mean, you go on and on and on. Dom DeLuise, Farrah Fawcett, dead. And he's like, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis.
I mean, Frank Sinatra was in that too, right? Weren't the three of them in that?
No.
Just a cameo?
No, I don't think Frank. I don't remember Frank being in that at all. But
he was in one of those like comedy kind of things with Reynolds, I think. But yeah, definitely Sammy Davis Jr.
Jack Elam, dead. I just did. Oh, I was like, wow. It's like, man, it gets depressing when you start looking at that. Like, my God. So, not been a good week. I said my friend passed away yesterday, so that was rough. It's been a bad weekend.
Well, I'm sorry. Sorry for your sadness, and rest in peace to your friend. It's funny that you bring up all these people that have passed or moved on. So my mother-in-law passed away a few months ago, so we were cleaning out some of her stuff, and we found, like, believe it or not, some old New York Mets, because my brother-in-law is a New York Mets and a New York Jets fan. So I found some old yearbooks.
Sorry.
67. I know, right? Some from 67, some from the mid-70s. I think like the 1975 Met yearbook sold for $1. And there was an ad in it, and it was for the Sands Casino, and the four pictures they had of the people that they were promoting. Bill Cosby. In jail, David Brenner passed away. Ann Margaret, who's she's still alive, but she's in her 80s. And I forget the other person, but he passed away as well. So yeah, you know all this stuff. You think about your mortality, right? But Steve. Are
they they're your heroes, Tom Seaver.
Yeah.
If you mentioned your brother's a Met fan.
Yeah, we
Tom
have to talk
Seaver,
about that.
Yes. Right. I mean, dementia is like It just it's depressing when you realize the guys or girls, you grew up that you idolized, and they're not the they're not that strong, that great whatever they were, a great actor, great player, and they're not that anymore. Like I said, Tom Seaver.
Right.
When you think about Tom Seaver, terrific Tom, probably the worst trade the Mets ever made in their history. Dementia won't be able to show up to the 50th anniversary of the World Series team this year.
But they're going to build a statue for him.
Life. They should. They should have done that a long time ago, actually.
Yes. Yeah, there was a little bit of a falling out, right, which is a shame for the face of your franchise.
Right. So they just need to admit you made a mistake and move on here. It makes you think. I'm not going to use the word depressing, but it's like, oh, really, Tom? I'm not even a Met fan, and I feel bad.
Right. One of the great pitchers of all time. 2.86 ERA. Unfortunately, he pitches 300 win against our Yankees, but whatever.
I mean, saw that game.
Yeah, I remember.
Sunday afternoon, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Steve G's been tweeting out to us. He mentioned Keith Flint, lead singer of the band Prodigy. I believe he committed suicide. Definitely passed away. And he mentions a guy. I've heard of Prodigy, but you're not really a wrestling guy, but King Kong Bundy this week passed away, right? It was announced. Do you know who King Kong Bundy is?
I only know him when I saw the picture. I'm not a wrestling guy,
right.
But I thought what was interesting is I didn't know at the time. Now a couple people have tweeted out, including Gabe tweeted out that married with children, the Bundys were named after.
Right, King I didn't Kong realize Bundy. That.
Apparently, the creator was a big wrestling fan. I think Bundy and Rhodes, even the neighbors, were named after wrestlers. So I had no idea about that. But I realized because the only reason why I knew it was because King Kong Bundy was actually in an episode of the. Of the Married with Children. He played, I think, Peggy's cousin or something like that. So that's the only reason I knew, or else I would have never known. I'm not a wrestling guy at all. I would have never known who King Kong Bundy was, even though I'd heard the name.
Yeah, I was big into wrestling then. I still, what I do now with wrestling is I DVR it and then just skim through it. But back in the day, when King Kong Bundy was around, I was a big wrestling guy. So, and when he would pin an opponent, you see the size of him if you've seen pictures of him. Instead of a pin count of three, he insisted that he got a pin count of five. He was that good that he could pin someone for five. So
torture the guy and pin him even further.
Yeah, right?
I was thinking it's going to be nice. Make it a count of two so I don't kill the guy.
But Steve G also, we're going to be talking fantasy baseball, but he tweeted out about football to us when we were talking about it. He was hoping that Giants GM Gettleman would get Rosen for a second-round pick, and he thinks that would be a better move than maybe trying to move up and picking up Haskins in the draft. So, and
what's going to happen at the top of the NFL draft for these quarterbacks is going to be so much fun. I mean, hey, you got to are the Cardinals lying? Are they telling the truth? You know, you don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're just trying to build up the number one pick overall so they can sell it and they'll keep Rosen. You know, you don't know what they're going to do as far as they're doing the right thing because you want to drum up business here. You know, we don't know for sure. Do they believe in Rosen? Do they not believe in Rosen? What I truly believe is this. If you believe that Kyler Murray is the franchise quarterback you've been looking for, then you have to take him at one, regardless of Rosen. Doesn't matter you took quarterback last year. Yeah, it just doesn't matter. If you think Murray is that guy, I think we're hearing a lot of disinformation out there. I think this thing that came out earlier this week that Rosen's height really isn't 5'10 and 8, that he's shorter than that. I think I think that's disinformation to try and get other teams shy away. I think that could be a team. I think it's one of these things. I don't know any of this. I'm just throwing out teams there. So like the Redskins throwing that out there so that no other teams trade for him because they want to work that trade out with the Cardinals. So they want to make sure Denver doesn't do it, or you said the Giants don't do it, whatever. You know, or any other team that wants a young quarterback. You know, so they throw out, oh no, he's not 5'10. He's 5'2. He really cheated. You know, he had platform shoes. So I think that's what's going on here. You're going to hear a lot of lies. It's what I always like to say, man. When can you tell a GM or a coach is lying? When their lips move. I'm not so sure anyone's telling the truth, or at least not the whole truth. I think they're mixing in a little truth, a little lie there. Good luck.
Kyler Murray's going to be check his height at his pro day. So we'll see. Charlie Casserly came out with a lot of stuff in terms of Kyler Murray's leadership coming out during his interviews. You don't know what to believe is right, so we'll see. Then he kind of backed off of that. By the way, Steve G also asked you personally, George, about your Islanders, and he said, what do the Islanders have to lose at this point? They should just play Josh Hosang.
I think Steve knows he'll get no argument from me. I agree. I don't understand. I mean, this is it's got to be Hosang because this is two different regimes now that didn't want to play him. I mean, there's something going on. The Islanders can't score. That's where Steve's going with that. And Hosang can skate, and he can skate very well. And he can open things up. He's got some problems with the defensive zone. He's got some immaturity problems, although probably not quite the maturity he had. But Steve's right. I mean, you got nothing to lose here. You keep playing bums. You might as well play guys who could really do something. You lost 5-1, 5-2 last night to Philadelphia. You have nothing to lose by going with Hosang right now. For the Islanders, plan simple. I think Trotz was getting every ounce out of this team earlier. He's doing it with mirrors, you know, shadows and mirrors. And guess what? Those mirrors are breaking. Islanders are in trouble.
All right, we're going to switch gears. Talk more fantasy baseball for the rest of the show. You're listening to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Engel, producing our show. Keep this flying straight.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Engel producing our show. Bring us back. Little My Girl. George's girl cut her hair. Makes him sad. But he'll get over it because it'll grow back and she did it for a good cause.
Not fair! not stuff, fair at all. Stuff. 2 feet. All right, 2 feet.
2 feet. That's a lot of hair, man. That is a lot of hair. Does her hair now reach her shoulders?
No.
No? Okay. All right. Yeah, I was going to say, wow. Okay.
I think it...
a lot of...
Maybe a little past their ears. Mm-hmm. What do they call that? Bob or something like that? I don't know.
Wow, that's a lot of hair. Well, there you go. Okay.
Thanks, Joe. You might want to rub that in a little bit more to me. Not lying here, folks.
Hair grows back, dude. Hair grows back. Don't worry about it. All right, so let's talk a little baseball.
That was hairy.
we got a hairy situation going on. Ba-dum-bum. talk about pain. Luis Severino was feeling some pain, right? Some inflammation in his shoulder. New York Yankees ace. I think it's safe to call him the ace, right? MRI, received an MRI. No tears, right, George? But I believe he received a cortisone shot. Now he says the pain is gone. I'm a little concerned. You know, there were whispers of an injury last August. You know, Pedro Martinez saying that Severino told him he had a little bit of a little injury brewing there. But Masahiro Tanaka starting opening day for the Yankees. So Severino was shut down for 2 weeks. At this point, it's probably like a week and a half left to that that 2 weeks. What's your take on Severino? Any concerns? Yeah, the guy throws the ball so hard. It was a rumor. We don't know if it was really true in terms of him having an injury last August, but his performance did tail off a little bit in the second half last season.
You know, if he had an injury, he was still throwing the ball just as hard as he ever was last year. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is something to the pitch throw, you know, that he was tipping his pitches. Maybe the ball was straight. You know, they always say it doesn't matter how hard you throw the ball. If it's straight, they're going to hit it. You know, they'll time mm-hmm. it, they'll hit it. So maybe there's something to that, too. Maybe he wasn't mixing in the off-speed stuff enough, or maybe because it was wild, he just wasn't able to, teams just laying off it, whatever it might be. You know, there could be a million mm-hmm. excuses for this. I don't know if what happened last year necessarily leads to this, but I'll say this. 2 weeks, he'll be fine. I'm not buying that. You know, I'm certainly not buying that. That's literally your best case scenario. He'll be fine in 2 weeks. He'll just go back on his program. He'll be back by mid-April because that's what they're hoping for. He'll have to start pretty much from scratch. You know, 2 weeks does put you said about 10 days, about March 20th, let's say that, and he'll need to go on a program, pretty much to throw for 4 weeks to get ready for the regular season, which pretty much puts you in mid-April. That is by far your best case scenario. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying anywhere near worst case scenario, but I'll put him down for May 1st. So fantasy-wise... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that changes where I'm going to draft him. Severino was being drafted third round. You know, pretty much as a top 10 pitcher here. I dropped him 2-3 rounds after that. You know, because mm-hmm. once again, what if it is worst case scenario? He doesn't pitch, you know, until the All-Star break. Well, I guess the worst case scenario would be much worse than that. But that could easily happen. That wouldn't shock me either. You know, but I think from everything you're hearing about the Yankees, and one thing about the Yankees, Cashman seems to not care. And what I mean about that is he ain't lying. Yeah, when he's wrong, it's just, oh, hey, I was wrong. You know, but he's telling the truth. Remember, he told everybody if he wasn't interested in Harper and Machado? He wasn't. He's not playing smokescreen. He's been doing this for years now. Cash is the one guy who I might believe when his lips move. So I think he truly believes that Severino will be back in 2 weeks. I just think that might be unrealistic. So like when they thought Judge would be back in, 4 to 6 weeks last year from the chipped wrist. Then he ended up being, it was almost double that. So I think the same situation could apply here where they're just being optimistic more than they are lying. So I still have belief in Severino. I mentioned I would take him round 5, round 6. I'm just not drafting him where he once was being drafted, which was round 3.
Mm-hmm. What about the Yankees being linked to Gio Gonzalez? You and I had tweeted out to each other about the Dallas Keuchel. Past couple of shows we were doing together, you're not a Dallas Keuchel guy. In terms of the Yankees adding another starter, your concern is you're pretty optimistic, which I'm surprised about you. you're like, well, once he gets healthy, then, you know.
Wow!
You are optimistic on this situation, you know?
I mean, that's the surprising part. Oh, George is optimistic. Wow, what's going on here?
Exactly, right? But you're saying that once, let's say, Severino's healthy, and then who goes to the bullpen? But, you know, I'm looking at it from a point of you can never have enough starting pitching. And I mentioned to you in terms of, you know, innings pitched, you know, Paxton, 160 innings pitched, the highest rate of his highest innings pitched in his career. A guy that tends to go on the DL from time to time. Tanaka pitched less innings than that. CC pitched less than that, and he's going to start the season on the IL. I didn't say DL. I said IL. You know, he had some off season heart issues and whatnot, and had been dealing with his knee. So. Are you happy with, let's say, you know, Herman or Lasagna getting a shot to start the season in the starting rotation? I know April is kind of like an easier month in terms of scheduling, but for the long term, I'm a little concerned about the Yankees starting pitching.
See, I think when you were mentioning Sonny Keuchel, you're thinking like a fan. Oh, this is the next guy available. Yeah, the Yankees' payroll is already at $226 million. Keuchel bring that over $240. The Yankees aren't going to do that because they don't want to deal with Keuchel the next 2-3 years either. Where he really
how much do you think that he's going to command in terms of money? I mean, he, pretty much teams like in the driver's seat at this stage with him, right? Do you think he makes like, more than $10 million a year?
I'd be surprised if he doesn't. I mean, $10 million a year is nothing. CeCe's making $8 million. I mean, he took a team-friendly contract to come back. So
you got to wonder what the Astros are offering.
Yeah, I think that's where he ends up, by the way. I think he goes back to Houston. But as far as Keuchel's concerned, I don't think I think the Yankees are smart not to go after him. Because once again, you don't want to deal with that contract the next couple of years where you know, now you're playing with somebody who's you got another CeCe who can't throw very hard, has to be perfect with his location. You're playing a ballpark where the ball flies out of. The Yankees have depth. You have Domingo Herman, so he's fine. As far as a depth guy, you mentioned the joke with Lasagna, and I did the same thing yesterday, by the way. Lasagna, I think that's how you pronounce it, Lasagna. But I'm hungry, and I keep thinking Lasagna. I prefer meat Lasagna for those wondering. So you got him, and you got the little Luis Sessa, who granted, and I made the comment to you off the air, he's been a failed starter several times when the Yankees have tried him. You know, though he pitched well yesterday against Baltimore in spring training. So the Yankees have three starters. Plus, you got Montgomery coming back from TJ during the year as well. So I don't know if you want to really assign a long-term starter who you don't really like. You know, I don't think that's going to happen at all. And when we say he's been linked, nothing from the Yankees has linked them here. By the way, Cashman has said he will not go outside to get pitching. I just said I believe what Cashman says. So if he says it, I believe him. I don't think he is going to go outside and get it. Not unless something else happens. I mean, am I worried? Everything you said is true. Severino's already hurt. Tanaka, you know, that elbow's hanging by a string. Hap should be fine. Paxton, yeah. 160.
Yeah, Hap is the only guy I have confidence in this season.
And CC, granted, this won't be the last injury he has. He'll need to be shut down at some point during the season, just like he, at his age every season. I wouldn't have signed CC. I wouldn't have. You know, I wouldn't have signed Brett Gardner either, for that matter. You know, I would have let these guys go. I think they're both done. You know, but CC, you know, good veteran presence, fine. And like I say, you do have guys who can cover for him when he gets hurt, so I'm okay there. But as far as the Yankees are concerned, one thing you got to remember, I mean, you mentioned the April schedule. I think you were going, what you were mentioning is a lot of off days in April, which you can pitch around a fifth starter. Yankees schedule also in April, for those who haven't looked, they open up 3 games against Baltimore. If they're not the worst team in baseball, Miami might be. They're close. All right, so 3 games against Baltimore, 3 games with the Detroit, another terrible team. Then they're at Baltimore for 3. All right, they got Houston for 3. Obviously, though, Houston's one of the best teams in baseball. Then they got the White Sox at home for 3. Then you play Boston for 2. Granted, another tough team. So all of April, and then you play KC for 4 before you head out west for Los Angeles, San Francisco. San Francisco's terrible. LA's an average team. You know, Arizona, once again, you're talking an average bad to average team. So all of April, you're facing five games against good teams. And I'll mention this once again. The American League is really, you got 5-6 good teams. Everyone else is terrible. It's really what it comes down to. Yankees, Red Sox, Cleveland, Houston, those are your good teams. Your very good teams. You want to throw Tampa, Oakland, Minnesota as above average? I'm good with that. You know, everybody else is terrible. I mean, that's just the way it is in the American League right now. So that's why I'm not panicking from the Yankees. They're going to win 100 games no matter what they do. The Yankees could try and lose, and they'll still win 100 games. This regular season doesn't really matter for them. Well, what matters, all this regular season will determine is who wins the American League East and who's playing in the wild card. Yeah, that's all it'll matter for the Yankees and Red Sox. And for that matter, the Astros and the I expect the Indians. Well, the Indians I might be a little worried about.
But, yeah, it looks like the Twins are cutting into that.
If I'm a Twins, man, I sign Kimbrel. I signed Kimbrel. I mean, you've made a couple other good signings this year. I think Cleveland has made some poor choices that I think their offense is going to suffer this year. I think with Lindor's already hurt.
Starting pitching staff.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a shame they're not building around that. But if I'm the other Twins, I'm definitely pushing. I'd sign Kimball, really beef up that bullpen. I would do that.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting race to watch in the Central. The AL Central right there. Yeah, I mean, look, I hear what you're saying. Cashman has run this team as if it's his own money, you know, that he's spending. So he's been it's been made some good moves. Really, right? I guess...
Well, you can't say he's frugal. It's at $226 million. He's way above the cap.
Yeah, but he's been careful as to who he gives his money to, in a way, you know?
Well, he should be.
You're right. Yeah.
I don't want to give the money just to anybody.
Mm-hmm. He can give some to me if he wants. I mean, Keuchel, I don't think he's going to get a lot of money. I agree with you. He probably ends up back with the Astros. Phillies have been linked to him, a short-term deal. I think the Braves should be looking at him, you know, with the injuries that they've come across in this spring. But I don't know. He rejected a $17.9 million qualifying offer from the Astros. Just out of curiosity, what do you think he makes on a per year salary? I don't see it go more than maybe 12.
I was thinking 14 on an AAV, somewhere around there, 342, 230 wouldn't shock me. He's running out of suitors. I mean, the problem is this. When you have a pitcher like Keuchel, and this is a guy who throws average fastball is less than 90. It's 89.6 offhand. It means he has to be perfect, and those guys generally don't age well. Some do. Jamie Moyer pitched forever, throwing the ball, I think, at 84. So it can happen, but they just don't age well. Obviously, it's not sexy. He's not blowing the ball by anybody. He has to be perfect. And this in this day and age where you have the small ballparks, everybody at the launch angles now and hitting all these home runs, he's going to be hit. And teams don't necessarily like that. They don't want the ball put in play. They want strikeouts. And so you don't have to worry about defense here. I think that's his issue here. He's just there's nothing to sell with him other than the beard. So I think Houston is where he's going to end up using our starting pitcher there. He does have a great pitch. He really does. But, yeah, I think that's their problem. I think that's his problem, I should say. And you bring up the qualifying offer. I think he is another guy who probably made a mistake. You know, probably should have taken the $18 million because I don't think he's going to make that. You know, and that's, I think that's also what they're looking for because now you got a safe face, right? So you want to save face, the embarrassment, and try and get above that. And I don't expect that to happen.
Right. Right. Be interesting. But I like kind of intimated to you if George Steinbrenner were alive and, you know, he was, you know, in charge. I mean, you know how we used to love to go after guys that killed him, like, you know, that did well against him. And remember how well Keuchel pitched against the Yankees in the playoffs in the past and 2.45 ERA at Yankee Stadium. But you're right. I don't think he's going to end up with the Yankees. I just thought that maybe they should just kick the tires. And you bring up some good points. Cashman kind of, you know, what he says, he usually follows through on, but yeah, we'll see. Craig, you mentioned Craig Kimbrel. We were talking last weekend that Nationals were kicking the tires on him, but then this week we're hearing that the Nationals and the Braves are not pursuing him as a free agent. And you know what? You mentioned the Twins. That'd probably be a good landing spot for him. Have you heard any rumors or any other insight as to where Kimbrel might end up? Maybe, but the Phillies that I had heard, they were a short-term deal. But this guy, he wanted 6 years, right?
Well, that's not. I mean, listen, he picked the.
I know it's not happening, but
to all of a sudden to want this huge, he wanted 6 years over $100 million.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Craig. Weren't you just replaced in the World Series because you couldn't get anybody out? You couldn't throw the ball over the plate. You picked the wrong year to demand this. So I think that was silly of his part. Now, once again, he's. I don't want to say he's left without a chair when the music stopped, but it's close. I mean, it's really close here. Where are you going? I mean, once again, where are you going? What teams need a closer that are going to pay still a decent amount? He's not going to get what he wanted as far as, 6 years over $100 million, $17 million a year. He's not getting that. I think he'd have to settle for somewhere, once again, the same Keuchel range, $12, $13 million a year, and maybe on a 2-3 year deal, you know, somewhere a third of what you all wanted or what you asked for or what you demanded. However way you want to work this. So I think that's going to be not easy to pull off here. I think a lot of this is also agents wanting to save face. You know, we ask for this, we're not even getting close to that. Oh, God, it's embarrassing. You know, so that sort of thing. But you look through baseball. All right, you need a contending team that needs a closer. Going back to Atlanta would make some sense, but they got Vizcaino and Minter. I mean, maybe they don't want to spend money on that. Boston actually makes sense. It doesn't tell you a lot that Boston doesn't want him back, by the way. Their closer right now is either Matt Barnes or Ryan Brashear.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and they're not making any moves? I mean, that strikes me as, wow. You know, why don't they want this guy? What do they know that I don't? You know, exactly, what do they know that I don't? You know, that sort of thing there. I mean, Cleveland's good with Brad Hand. The Cubs will live until Morrow comes back with Strope. It seems they don't want to spend any money anyway. He's not going to Colorado away Davis. Houston's got Asuna, whatever you think about him. That, you know, all fine and good, but they have Asuna. Dodgers are good. Milwaukee's good. Minnesota, it just keeps me. Their closer right now is really a hodgepodge. Trevor May, Taylor Rogers, Blake Parker, a mix of all these guys. So I think it makes sense there. You know, the two New York teams are solid. Oakland's good with training. Philadelphia with Robertson, I think Robertson would be better in a setup role. I do. But they're also got Sir Anthony Dominguez. You got Neris still there. So they don't absolutely have to have him. You know, Jordan Hicks in St. Louis. Well, I think once again, I think that could be an option. But I think they like Hicks and they got Andrew Miller there. So where's the fit? You know, where's the fit? Washington with Sean Doolittle. Once again, I think he'd be good there. So I have to believe it's a National League East team. It seems like those are the ones that make the most sense.
Yeah. In the less than a minute we have, Andrew Jones, one of the last big name, well, medium name free agents out there, right, at this stage. I don't know. There's just no news about it. Maybe the Indians. Giants had been looking for an outfielder. The Dodgers were even said to be looking for an outfielder. They were in on Bryce Harper. Got to find out where Andrew Jones is going to land. We'll be back with more fantasy baseball talk. Roto Experts in the Morning.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. Great balls of fire. Go Galena, along with George Kurtz, Sean Angle. This is Jerry Lee Lewis, right?
That is correct.
The original is. I don't know if that's the going on here.
Yeah, I think he actually had a little health scare recently, too, Jerry Lee Lewis. Looking it up now, Great Balls of Fire, Jerry Lee Lewis. I thought he had some kind of a minor stroke, but he's up there in age. But that's a rocking tune for a Sunday morning.
That's a good tune. Great Balls of Fire, absolutely a good tune. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Wakes you up a little bit, right? Wakes you up a little bit. Yep. Let me tell you, my wife just walked. Wife just walked downstairs, Joe. And she's in the kitchen, you know, where any good wife should be, by the way.
Easy now.
But anyway,
we're going to hear the smack.
I don't think she heard me. Well, she probably would hear a smack, or at least a dirty look. But, you know, she has the hair thing. I'm giving her a look during the commercial, you know, shaking my head with the hair. And she goes, well, look at this way. You can pretend you're having an affair with a younger woman.
Wow.
Interesting way to look at things. Interesting way to look at things.
Spicing it up.
So I got that going for me.
There you go. You'll finish the show first, right? Well, then you got
maybe your show. You know, I'm not sure about the next one. No, she's got to leave. She's got to leave in a little bit to go pick up my brats.
A little sleepover action, huh?
They did, yes. They had a sleepover. And I think the younger one has a soccer game that my wife won. A soccer game that I can't, you know, I don't mind going to my kids, you know, when they have their things. You know, a younger one plays soccer, older one likes to play volleyball. But they play soccer in a gym. And they cut off half the gym with, you know, those, that wall that goes down the middle of the gym. And mm-hmm. you're playing soccer, but they still play the normal rules. So every time the ball goes out of bounds, they stop it. Now you're playing on a hardwood surface, half the gym, and these kids don't know how to play soccer. No one's really very good. The ball, I mean, literally, you're not playing soccer. You're playing, let's see the ref run across the gym over and over and over 1,000 times because the ball goes out of play rather than play it off the wall. Just play it off the wall. All right, let them play. Stop doing throw-ins every 28 seconds. That's what it comes down to. It's just throw-ins. You know, because the ball's going out of play all the time. It drives me insane. So not that I like to complain. Not me, ever.
But, no, not you. No.
The best thing about doing these shows on Sunday mornings, and I've told my wife this, the best thing about doing these shows on Sunday mornings is I don't have to go to these games.
well, we enjoy having you on the air as well. So glad it works out both ways. So good stuff.
It's all about me, Joe. George. It's all
it
about
is,
me.
Right? Don't be a prima donna now.
Yeah, I'll demand a trade. And $21 million.
There you go. Okay, good luck. Good luck. continuing on fantasy baseball, I wanted to talk a little bit about the younger guys that are coming up through the system. I mean, a lot of attention, obviously, going to Vlad Guerrero Jr., Eloy Jimenez from the White Sox. Basically, it just seems that, you know, once you hit 30 in baseball, it's like almost like a death sentence. Doesn't it feel that way, George? I mean, you know, anyone under 30, you know, is looked upon as a god. And maybe part of it is because so many of the young prospects that have come up recently have been effective. You know, guys like the Yankees brought up Torres and, you know, with Acuna from the Braves and Soto from the Nationals. They hit the ground running. So maybe that's really changed perception where, you know, the young kids don't really need as much adjustment to the major leagues. I don't know, but it just seems that anyone over 30 is just looked down upon in baseball these days.
You know, it's you're absolutely right. Old age is, it's not, during the steroid era, you could play until you're 40, right? And now you can't. Now it's, you know, I don't want to say 30, but it's maybe 32, 33. You're not seeing these long contracts anymore for someone's over 30. Because they know you're going to eat it, you know, at the end of that contract. So it's tough for an older player because, you know, once again, you assume you're going to wear down. You know, your bat speed's going to slow. The fastball's going to slow down. You're just not going to be the player you used to be. So I get it. You know, and I was thinking this the other day. You know, in regards to the steroids, you know, we want our athletes, our heroes to play longer. You know, to see them play. We hate it when they have to retire. They're not the same player. You know, that's why the steroids thing, I go up and down about this. You know, actors do it all the time. You know, all the drugs they do to get ready for a part. That's okay. No one ever gets on them. You know, no one ever gets on Stallone when he, you know, all those movies did, but it was all cut up to them. You know, like there's no tomorrow. That's okay. We don't get on football players as much. They get suspended. Yeah, but Edelman's still, you know, rewarded, you know, or held it. Oh, you know, Super Bowl MVP, great game. Got suspended 4 games beginning of the season, steroids. You know, baseball, he wouldn't even been allowed to play in the playoffs. But in football, it's okay because it's a brutal game. Which I'm not saying I disagree with it. Football is a brutal game. But it's okay. You know, we don't vilify him. Baseball, we vilify. Right? We hate these guys because they did steroids. Even though, let's face it. You know, there have been illegal drugs going on in baseball forever. Amphetamines was out in the open. You literally, back in the day, had two coffee pots. One was called leaded, one was called non-leaded. It wasn't for caffeine and no caffeine. It was for amphetamines and no amphetamines. So that's why all these older players, by the way, who say, you know, they did it right, and, we didn't do steroids. No, you used different drugs. All right, so stop acting like you were innocent little angels here. It's been around forever. So, like I said, I just find it interesting that don't we want our heroes to play longer? And with steroids, if you allowed them, which I'm not saying you should, but if you did or you didn't vilify it as much, they would play longer. You'd have your heroes playing until they're, you know, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, like they were a while back. But I think with baseball, what causes all the anger is we're so in love with our numbers in baseball. We love our numbers. You know, we so do. Where football, yeah, we know the numbers, but we don't love them. You know, it's just weird to me. I just find that strange.
Depends on the position you play. Baseball is looked at.
Right. I mean, baseball was called in front of Congress. Football wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, they have this many guys. I also find it in baseball, by the way, that we still have guys being suspended for it. I mean, really? Stephen Wright? You're a knuckleball pitcher. What the hell? Why are you doing steroids for? You know, and by the way, they never know it. Oh, no, I have no idea how it got in my system. None. I think the next time someone says, oh, you know what? The next time someone says, listen, I did it. I was trying to get ahead of the game here. I felt I needed a boost. I'll have much more respect for you, by the way, when someone actually admits it. But, oh, no, I have no idea how that got in my system. No, what? There's a needle in my pants? What do you mean? No. My fingerprints are on it. Accident. No idea. I mean, it's all by the same playbook. No idea. No one ever has any idea. No, Your Honor, I accidentally stabbed my wife in the back 16 times. No idea.
Yeah. The first five, I meant to do it, but after that, it was just an accident.
You know, it was repetitive motion. I couldn't stop. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, you know,
Sorry, Your Honor, I actually hit my husband in the car four times.
Yeah. That kind of admitted over to it. Twice. And were forgiven. Andy Pettit, right? Andy Pettit kind of... You know,
Andy Pettit, sure. He's always considered a nice guy, and he admitted Jason Giambi, sort of the same thing
him.
There.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was liked, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's, and listen, the hometown fans will forgive anything anyway. Ryan Braun is still loved in Milwaukee, even though after what he did, which was scummy, to put it nicely. San Fran loves Barry Bonds, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just strange. The Yankee fans cheered A-Rod when he came back, even after all the crap he did. Some of it to the team. When he blamed everybody but himself, right? It was the trainer's fault. It was Cashman's fault. It was the doctor's fault. It was never his fault. You know, it's just strange. What goes
do
on?
Do you think the Yankee fans accepted A-Rod? You think after that? I mean, you know, I don't know.
I think they had a love hate with him, but they cheered him.
Yeah,
they certainly cheered him.
I happened to be at a White Sox game in Chicago. We were celebrating a friend's birthday. We went to a Cubs game and a White Sox game, and it just coincided with A-Rod's first game back. He was suspended, right? He was suspended for a time. Yes. So it was his first game back, and it was against the White Sox. And boy, oh boy, did this guy take a lot of heat from the White Sox fans that night. I'm not a big A-Rod guy, but I kind of felt bad for him that night. And, you know, I don't feel bad for him at all now because as we opened the show with the big news about him being engaged to J-Lo.
That's right. A-Rod's engaged to J-Lo. Aren't we all happy? Can't
is
we
all? Is she going to be J-Rod?
I don't know. I don't know. Will she even have the J-Alex Lopez-Rod? Yeah, maybe it'll be Alex Lopez. That I don't know what's going to happen there as far as that is concerned. But listen, they've been dating for a long time, right? So listen, good for them. Hopefully it works out. I think nowadays it's always shocking when I forget who it was, a celebrity that I realized were still married the other day. I was like surprised. I'm like, because you just see like celebrities, when they marry another celebrity, it doesn't last very long. Oh, it was two years in an old TV series I was watching. That's right. And they were still married. Like, oh, good for them. Good for them. Good for those kids that they're still married there. You know, I was talking with Cam yesterday, Joe, and I want to get your opinion on this. The news came out earlier this week that Jessica Mendoza is going to work for the Mets, you know, in some kind of advisory role. The Mets have hired out. Al Leiter is going to do it. John Franco.
Yes.
And this is not a Mendoza thing, but you know Mendoza is working for the Mets and ESPN. Leiter is working for Major League Baseball Network and the Mets. You know, A-Rod, it works for the Yankees and Fox. And there's several other athletes do the same thing here. CeCe is going to work for ESPN and the Yankees. You know,
yeah, I saw that, yeah.
How are you feeling if you're a GM of the Nationals? GM of the Nationals, you got a game in September. That game is now a Sunday night game. It's now ESPN. Nationals versus Mets is a big game. You know, you've tied for the division lead. And now the ESPN wants you to give access to Jessica Mendoza? Or MLB Network wants you to give access to Al Leiter? These are guys who work for the enemy. Right. I mean, there's no way. There's no way I'd give access. If I'm the Nationals, no. I wouldn't give access to Brian Cashman if you're the Red Sox. Why would I give it to somebody else who works for the other team? This is
That's
a major
a
conflict
point.
Of interest
yes.
to me. There's no way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, I said, I'm, it's not a woman thing with Mendoza. I would do the same thing for Leiter,
right.
Pedro Martinez, David Ortiz, A-Rod, all these people. I mean, there's no way.
That is such a great point. Yeah. I'd allow
you
her
can't
to
tell
obviously...
me this is not a conflict of interest.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. To get in that clubhouse and interview individual players, try to get into their head in terms of strategy and whatnot. Yeah, if I'm the Nationals, don't give her access. Obviously she's okay to broadcast the game, but
yes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even if they have the best of intentions, all of them, like I said, A-Rod, Mendoza, Ortiz, you can't tell me they're not telling, their team any information they learn here. You can't tell me that. You just can't. I think that's silly. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like the Mets GM, Brody BVW, where he was, all of a sudden he's DeGrom's agent, and also now he's the GM of the Mets, but I won't use anything against DeGrom in negotiations with the Mets. Yeah, okay. I mean, really, give me a freaking break. Because if that's true, then, it's funny. As the agent, you believe he deserved the contract extension. But now as the GM, he's not getting one.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So
Didn't he say that, look, if the Mets aren't looking to extend them, they should just trade them as his agent?
Yes. That's right. It's all bull crap.
Yes.
It really is all bull crap. They're all lying. But I just found that interesting because exactly, it has nothing to do with Mendoza. It's just that it came into the head, came into the news this week. So that's why I brought this up with Cam. I'm like, there's no way I would let any of these players. And I said Ortiz and Martinez still work for the Red Sox. And MLB Network. The Yankees, I wouldn't want them in. A-Rod still works for the Yankees. CeCe, I don't know if he's going to be going to the clubhouse. I think he just wants to have a talk show. So he's really not the same thing. Mendoza works for the Mets. Leiter works for MLB Network and the Mets. And I'll guarantee there are other teams that have the same thing here. I just find it a weird practice.
As Mendoza, I think she's more of a, helping the scouting teams out, right?
I would assume something like that, but I think the role is open. Listen, it's a great job for her. I think it's fantastic. Good luck to her. I just don't see how you can cover any team in your own division or any team really in baseball. I wouldn't want this. Granted, if I'm an Arizona Diamondback, I probably don't care as much, especially if my season's down with tubes anyway. But if I'm the Nats, Phillies, Braves, this division's going to be a division from hell this year. Do you think I want to give her access to stuff that, there's no other, I would not give access to the Wilpons. I would not give access to BVW or anybody else who works for the Mets, but I'll give it to Mendoza because she's covering the game for ESPN that one game a week. Get the hell out of here.
Baseball operations advisor. I think that's her official title for the Mets. But you bring up a really great point. And if I'm the Nationals, I do not give her access to the clubhouse. And fantastic point. Good for her, though, for getting the job, though. I mean, because
she's very good at ESPN.
Yeah, she's good. Absolutely. Very knowledgeable and all that stuff. So,
not that I listen to that many games because I hate announcers in general.
Yeah,
but
I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're all terrible. They really are. 2 minutes. Actually, I don't mind the Met announcers. I don't mind Gary Thorne. And even Keith Hernandez when he's not saying stupid things. Darling and them, they're all right. I can't stand, to the Yankees, I can't stand Michael Kay. He just drives me insane.
What about the radio side?
Oh, God, no. God, no. I mean,
John Sterling, not a big John Sterling guy?
Sterling's all right. And I've actually interviewed him. He's actually a fun guy. Susan Wolver just makes, I don't want to make that crude reference, but kills me. How about that? I can't deal. Can't deal. Can't deal. I used to like, back in the day, I used to like listening, watching Yankee, but listening to the radio side of it. Yeah, now I can't do that. But no. Like I said, the Yankees have so many different rotating. Leiter left the Yankees, obviously. He's not working for them anymore. Like I said, Paul O'Neill, I like because Paul O'Neill has fun. I don't think he takes it all that seriously, which is a complete opposite of what he used to do as a player, right? He took it way too seriously as a player. Paul O'Neill would go 4-for-4, 4 line drives, 4 home runs, and then the fifth time up at bat, hit a line drive at somebody that they caught it, and then go beat up the water cooler. We love the intensity, the Warriors, everybody calls him, but it's funny, as a broadcaster, he's much more fun. It's just I just like it how he keeps the game light. And the man eats. My God, he's still got a metabolism that runs like there's no tomorrow.
Still looks like he could play the game. David Cone, very high, much into the sabermetric side, so he adds a lot to that team. But the Yes Network Yankees broadcasters, they rotate. I like Singleton.
I love Singleton. I'll miss him when he retires. Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we'll continue talking some fantasy baseball. Listen to Roto Experts in the morning.